GBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A series of ICE raids in cities across the country Thursday as the Trump administration ramps up its enforcement of undocumented immigration. Also caught in the dragnet, American citizens, including a U.S. veteran in Newark, New Jersey. ABC's Sonia Rincon.
Newark's Mayor Ross Baraka says that veteran suffered the indignity of having the legitimacy of his military documentation questioned, calling it egregious and in violation of the Fourth Amendment. And he insists the proper warrant was not presented.
One of Trump's executive orders already suffering a setback. A federal judge in Seattle temporarily blocking the president's order seeking to end birthright citizenship, calling it blatantly unconstitutional. And President Trump is heading to hurricane-battered western North Carolina and wildfire-ravaged Los Angeles today. This is California. Governor Gavin Newsom approves $2.5 billion in wildfire relief. The Senate planning today to vote on Pete Hegseth, President Trump's nominee for defense secretary. This is ABC News. A Wisconsin man behind bars after being accused of murdering his stepson.
Stephen Merkel, jailed in Walworth County, Wisconsin on $250,000 cash bail. Investigators say he was showing his 9-year-old stepson guns in a bid to appear cool to the child. He ejected the clip from the 9mm pistol, but apparently left a round chambered. Merkel pulled the trigger, expecting to hear a click. Instead, the gun fired, the bullet striking Michael Mager under the chin, killing him. The complaint says Merkel admitted to consuming two small mixed drinks before. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
The 17-year-old suspected shooter who killed one classmate and injured another at a Nashville high school this week has been connected to a social media account that may have been in contact with an account belonging to the suspected shooter at a Madison, Wisconsin high school last month. The motive for the shooting not known, but according to law enforcement sources, the shooter left a substantial body of data on social media, which is being investigated. Dave Packer, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, WGBW.fm.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
I'm Mike Clemens.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. Elon Musk all concerned about Wisconsin Supreme Court. What does that mean? We'll talk about it. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Fox Valley forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly cloudy today. Highs near 19. It will be breezy out of the west. For tonight, chance of snow or flurries. We'll see a low around 15. For Saturday, partly sunny, breezy, a high near 31. Sunday, sunny, 26. Monday, partly sunny, mid-30s.
Right now, it's zero.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by Kim Shevchik from Doctors in Recital, and it's a bar band Friday night, which means our pal Terry Barr drops by with new music and sparkling conversation. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Now, be honest with yourself. Haven't you kind of breathed a little sigh of relief when you walk outside over the past 24 hours' time? Welcome in on a finally Friday morning, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. And, you know, I'm happy to report the weather is improving temperature-wise starting today. We'll get more details from Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, in about 15 minutes. Today, we will see clouds, that's for sure, but the winds are going to slow down a little bit. Daytime highs today, right around 20 degrees, but we'll still feel that breeze, dropping our wind chills to between 0 and 10 below. Tonight, maybe a chance of snow, probably before midnight. Then on Saturday, sunshine and 33 with winds out of the west, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Sunny on Sunday, 27 degrees. Like I said, more weather on the way with Stu Muck.
Allie Straczynski, a passionate dairy farmer and member of the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin Board of Directors, is part of the next generation shaping the future of Wisconsin dairy. She shares insights on how programs like Dairy Checkoff have supported the industry's growth nationwide.
It's been a great experience as a next generation dairy farmer who started after Checkoff was already in place. I have taken for granted the impact on production innovation and building the Wisconsin cheese identity over the past 40 years. Checkoff has allowed Wisconsin cheese to be sold nationwide, and it can be found in 99% of grocery stores. I've been lucky to gain a front row seat to these programs that are designed to strengthen relationships with both bulk buyers and individual consumers. These programs help to coordinate things like in-store demonstrations, digital ads, in-store sales material, and both earned and free media. And this all encourages consumers to look for that Proudly Wisconsin label.
Learn more about how your Dairy Checkoff dollars are utilized at wisconsindairy.org.
With 2024 wrapping up with a mostly upward trend compared to the past 5 years in the meat market, it's time to take a look into the future. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo, and Jeff Swenson, the DATCAP livestock and meat specialist, joined me to give an insight into what we could possibly see as we move through 2025.
Overall, it was a good year for red meat production. We saw fed cattle prices hit record highs at points during the year. And that's partially because of tighter supplies on the cattle side. And we did see cow prices maintain pretty high levels throughout the year based on availability. Our non-fed cattle supply is tight. Beef cow harvest alone is down 18%. But we still managed to harvest about 10% of our beginning beef cow herd. So we still will see tight supplies heading into the next year. And I think on the pork side, too, we saw improvement in prices, and we saw improvement in the case of lower inputs, mainly feed costs. And that came as a welcome relief after 2 years or better of really, really tough markets where producers were losing a lot of money and eating away equity. So we're welcoming that that change. And lamb prices backed off a little bit from what we saw in 2023, but still maintain levels at or above the five-year average.
You're talking about how the markets, they each had a bright point at some point throughout the year and ended on a decent note, it seems like. Is this something that we're seeing continue right now as we have entered 2025?
I was looking at auction market reports from the beginning of this week as we head into really our first full production week of 2025, and many of those auction markets were reporting record high fed cattle prices. And that's how we're starting 2025. these prices will be difficult to maintain. We know that packers now getting back into a fuller production cycle are looking for cattle. And I should say, with those record high prices, farmers were still being rewarded for quality. So it was really the best cattle coming into the auction markets that were getting those record high prices. But we saw demand for all classes of livestock, cows as well. Fed or bulls were bringing higher prices heading into 2025. High prices are difficult to maintain, so I would give a warning that high prices usually go down rather than continuing up, but we are seeing some optimism within the cattle sector, especially that we can maintain higher price levels. All that will depend on demand and the cattle supply going forward. I think on the hog supply, we're seeing fairly good news. Our harvest totals have been running behind 2023 at the end of 2024 for a few weeks, and that's great news. I will warn that with the hog supply right now, they are heavier. And when we're talking 2 to 2.5 million or more hogs harvested per week, every pound matters. So I think that's a result of our slower production schedule and major holidays falling midweek and disrupting work schedules. And the packers will need to catch up, because I think that those hog numbers or hog supplies are a little bit behind. I think that we need to catch up, get those weights down from the 292 level that we're seeing right now back toward that 289, which we are running most of the year.
If I think about it, last time we talked a little about the lamb market too, and it was doing really well. Have you seen that continue and push here into 2025?
2025, or I should say the beginning of any year with the lamb market, is always a little bit hard to predict. Sales at auction markets slow down a little bit. We don't see as many lambs coming to market because a lot of our lamb feeders really target for holiday markets. It would not be unusual to see lamb prices back off in early 2000 or beginning of any year. So in 2025, we would expect them to dip a little bit. But overall, prices are coming into the year above the five-year average. And that's a very, very good sign. And some of that is the work of our exporters, who are finding new homes for U.S.-raised lamb that we haven't seen in the past. And hopefully we'll be able to maintain levels in the lamb sector at prices as high as they are now or even higher.
Well, and you're mentioning exporting there and trade. It's always a bit of a roller coaster when you take a look at it, but last year, I think you were mentioning there were some downward trends at times, and now with Trump coming back into office, do you think this is something that with potential tariffs could really affect the market, or is it going to be more of a waiting game?
I think it'll be a waiting game. I don't know that anyone has an answer to what we'll see for exports. We're coming off a record year. At least it looks like a record year for hog exports, or I should say pork exports, not live hogs. When we're looking at hog exports above 5% higher than 2023, and 2023, we need to keep in mind, was a record year. So tough challenge to maintain those levels. Beef exports were a struggle at times due to the value of the U.S. dollar, but we did see beef value, if not volume, reach record highs at times during 2024. So, you know, with the new administration coming in, there's a lot of mixed messages. I've talked to packers that are looking forward to and are optimistic to have the new administration come in and feel that their ability to export beef, in their case, shouldn't be hampered too much. And then there's people that say that we'll have to wait and see what how the tariffs play out, and it could be detrimental to agriculture. So depends on who you listen to on that, and I think that we just have to wait and see.
From a producer and processor standpoint, what are some big things that we'd really like to see happen throughout this year to better the industry?
I think that if you're a processor that's looking for some relief, or a consumer looking for some relief in prices, weather will be the main concern. We're still dry in many parts of the country. Wisconsin fell into drought the tail end of the summer of 2024. We'll really need to see moisture return to parts of the country before we see meaningful expansion there. And then on the hog side, as I mentioned, we're just going to have to see maintained or even better profitability for hog producers before we really start to grow production. On the lamb side, I think that you know, our sheep flock isn't necessarily growing, but there are opportunities in some parts of the country, and there's a lot of lamb producers that are excited about grazing under solar panels. Everywhere I go to a sheep event, we hear talk about that. So we'll have to see how that plays out, too. But I think that there is an opportunity to grow U.S. lamb production.
Is there anything else you'd like to add about any of the meat markets as we move into 2025, or any hopes?
I think on the producer side, you know, when we see prices, especially when we're talking the beef market, is to manage your risk. Everyone says that, but I think that now is a good time to figure out your cost of inputs. Feeder cattle are high, so we can look at fed cattle prices being high. That doesn't necessarily mean that someone feeding cattle is going to be profitable based on their inputs. So all of it's relative. We're usually talking thin margins when it comes to feeding any type of livestock. So managing your risk and working with professionals that can help you do that through some of the insurance programs that are going on, or through commodity marketing or futures marketing, really could be beneficial in 2025. High prices have a better chance of working lower than working higher, and I think that's something to keep in mind throughout the beginning of this year.
Swenson says that we should expect to see the same smaller beef herd this year as we have previously, but that is not an issue when it comes to the beef industry, because low supply and high demand means high prices. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Mino and the Mayor.
Landon Jones, his commercial is a semifinalist for Doritos and could air during the Super Bowl.
I was sitting on the couch, I was eating some Doritos, I just had one in my hand, I was looking at it. Well, what if my hand got bigger? And then I was like, okay, well, what would happen if I ate it? Okay, the head would get bigger. And then, you know, I kind of went down the rabbit hole.
Funny. I wonder if it would work there.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning, 6 till 9 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina, yes, can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Big show on a Friday. Make sure to join us, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, former Wisconsin Badger Brady Ewing, and Peter Rapine of E-Bombs World. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
And doesn't look bad.
You're not alone, Pam. I think everybody in this part of the country yesterday was looking forward to temperatures come this weekend when we finally get back to normal and above. Well, let's talk about that for a second, shall we? We've been very, very cold like early this week. Well, our normals, at least across southern Wisconsin, La Crosse to Madison to Milwaukee, should be around 27. We're talking about a high in the low 20s in far northern parts of the state. So when we start talking about 20s and maybe even some 30s in the weekend and early next week, that's above normal. That's going to get us out of the heavy winter gear and enjoying the fact that it's become a little break for the last week of January. Yes, I also mean that. It really looks to me like our last week of January, the last 5 or 6 days, Monday on through Friday, will mostly be on the dry side. Some sunshine and pretty nice temperatures too. Southern Wisconsin looking here at low and mid 30s. Very, very pleasant for this time of the year. Well, before that all happens, yes, there is one more chance of snow. We've got that Clipper system trying to push in out of the northwest, and even later this afternoon, Park Falls, Eau Claire may very well have a little light snow developing. And that light snow will push east and southeast through Wisconsin Friday evening and Friday night. Not going to be much of anything. A little dusting here or there, that's really about all we can expect. So we're not going to make a big difference for moisture. That's not going to happen. And it shouldn't be a major storm in terms of ruining driving or making the weekend bad to start out. Because I expect even on towards Saturday and Sunday that sunshine returns and those temperatures will be able to moderate. In fact, right after the snow, a little more mild for Saturday, not quite so warm on Sunday, but still pretty close to normal then for Sunday's highs, and then warming up right into next week, and like we talked about, staying dry into next week as well. Winds are going to become west and even northwest behind that Clipper, at least on towards Saturday night, early Sunday. That's going to keep it a little on the cooler side for Sunday, but back to a west wind, eventually southwest on into next week, and that's when we get more of that moderation, when that mild air really turns up and makes for some very nice conditions as we push on toward the end of the month. I'll have our forecast details right after this.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
All business owners want the same thing, to make their business succeed. At Rural Mutual, they help that happen. As the third largest writer of commercial business in Wisconsin, they take the time to learn your business so they can properly protect you. Call your local agent today or visit ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Join the Midwest Farm Report team along with Wisconsin soybean and corn growers at the 2025 Corn Soy Expo on February 6th and 7th at the Kalahari Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. Learn from industry experts on disease updates, cover crops, DOT standards, weather patterns, and more. Comedian Greg Warren will bring humor to the closing of the event. Connect with fellow farmers and share ideas among the breakout session. And don't miss the popular beer and bowl session. For more information or to make plans to attend, visit cornsoyexpo.org.
There's good news in our Compeer Financial Ag weather forecast today, and that is that clouds are going to build on in. Yes, there may be some snow in western and northwest Wisconsin already later this afternoon, and then light snow or flurries pushing east and southeast through the night. Temps today, at least in the upper teens in the north, low 20s south, and winds out of the southwest about 5 to 15. Mostly cloudy, light snow, a few flurries ending from west to east overnight. Nighttime lows, very low teens, maybe just a double digit in the north, and mid-teens further south. South winds will be around 5 to 15. Then there's Saturday, partly sunny. And here's where we warm up, in the mid or upper 20s in the north, in the low 30s in the south, with west winds at 5 to 15. Like I said, a little cooler Sunday. Sunny skies, low to mid, even some upper 20s in the south. The west winds will be around 5 to 15. Looking to next week, like I've said, southern Wisconsin, there may be upper 30s. 30s on Monday, mid-30s after that, but it really does appear that we'll be staying dry as we push on toward the end of January, and with a little more mild air, a nice treat after the cold weather we had last weekend and early this week. Maybe we'll all be able to catch our breath a little bit, get a few things done outdoors without having to bundle up and everything out of the closet, Pam. So get ready. It sounds like a good improvement.
Definitely an improvement on our conversation heading into the weekend. Thanks, Stu. Have a good one. Catch up with you on Monday. Stu Mocker, Ag Meteorologist, with your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial is your financial partner, committed to agriculture and rural lifestyles. You can find great resources and remember upcoming meetings, all available online, compeer.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey, it's Amanda with your new Wisco 411, and who's ready to jump into an icy cold lake? Come on, it sounds like fun, right? A polar plunge is a Wisconsin rite of passage, and one's coming up sooner than you think. February 22nd at Prokopsky Boat Launch in De Pere. You can join a bunch of other brave and exciting souls who are ready to take the plunge, supporting more than 1,400 athletes of Special Olympics Wisconsin. Go ahead and register now. Go to WGBW.FM, click events to find out how.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We have updates on important state Supreme Court cases involving the outcome of a November 2024 North Carolina Supreme Court election and whether Pennsylvania can count mail ballots with missing dates. First to North Carolina, where after two recounts, a race for Supreme Court justice is separated by 734 votes, with 5.5 million ballots cast. Supreme Court Justice Allison Riggs was declared the winner over appeals court judge Jefferson Griffin, but Griffin refused to concede and appealed to invalidate as many as 60,000 voters. Griffin's challenge includes voters with felony convictions, despite North Carolina's returning citizen rights restoration. He and the North Carolina GOP also challenge voters with incomplete registration information, some of whom are even elected officials and have voted for years. Wednesday, the Carolina Journal reported that the North Carolina Supreme Court refused to hear the case in a 5-1 decision, sending it back to Wake County Superior Court to consider Judge Griffin's complaints. Back in October, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court refused to rule on whether on-time mail-in ballots missing a signing date could be counted. Of the two challenges filed, the ACLU's argument that rejecting the ballots is a violation of the state constitution's free and equal elections clause will be considered. No trial date has been set. We have more on both cases at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Mino and the mayor.
He's negotiating with our paid sponsor here.
Not sorry. That is true. Sorry. I forgot you were a paid sponsor.
Kristen Ambos, Point Mortgage Corporation. How are you, Kristen?
I am good. How are you guys
Excellent.
Doing?
Nice
good.
To see you.
I freaking love starting my mornings with you.
We love having so you we. Here. We yeah. really do.
Mino and the mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS and the Civic Media app. From De Pere to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A series of ICE raids in cities across the country Thursday as the Trump administration ramps up its enforcement of undocumented immigration. Also caught in the dragnet, American citizens, including a U.S. veteran in Newark, New Jersey. ABC's Sonia Rincon.
Newark's Mayor Ross Baraka says that veteran suffered the indignity of having the legitimacy of his military documentation questioned, calling it egregious and in violation of the Fourth Amendment. And he insists the proper warrant was not presented.
One of Trump's executive orders already suffering a setback, a federal judge in Seattle temporarily blocking the president's order seeking to end birthright citizenship, calling it blatantly unconstitutional. And President Trump is heading to hurricane-battered western North Carolina and wildfire-ravaged Los Angeles today. This is California. Governor Gavin Newsom approves $2.5 billion in wildfire relief. The Senate planning today to vote on Pete Hegseth, President Trump's nominee for defense secretary. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. We are hitting the height of award season buzz. The granddaddy of them all, the Academy Awards, are right around the corner, and the nominations are officially out. Let's start off in the category everyone is on pins and needles about, Best Sound. Just kidding. There's pretty much something for everyone, as 10 films from several genres have been recognized in the Best Picture category. Leading the nominations this year is the foreign film Emilia Perez with 13 nominations. The musical tells the story of a drug kingpin struggling with gender-affirming issues. Close behind Emilia were The Brutalist and Wicked with 10 nominations apiece. Conclave and A Complete Unknown also made an impressive showing with 8 noms each. Rounding out the nominees in the Best Picture category were independent films Nickel Boys, Anora, The Substance, I'm Still Here, and the blockbuster Dune 2. There is your list of movies to check out before March 2. You have 6 weeks. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks beat the Heat. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks won their 5th game in a row, 125-96 over the Miami Heat. The Bucks didn't get back to Milwaukee until less than 3 hours before the game after being stuck in a blizzard for 3 days in New Orleans at the team hotel. Damian Lillard led with 29 points and had a pregame speech before the tip-off.
The situation that we were in, you know, the last couple of days is obvious, but you don't want the room to just be quiet and everybody to just kind of go out there and see what's going to happen. So for me, I just wanted to put that energy out there, like, you know, nobody gonna feel bad for us. Ain't no excuses. I don't want to hear I'm tired or I ain't feeling like you got to take the opportunity for the team to even have that type of mentality away. As a leader of a team, you got to let the team know off the rip, like, we not doing that. We not having excuses. I don't care about the flight. I don't care. We've been in a hotel. Like, you got to take that away from the team.
That's the Bucks. Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
Sunday, we talk with Chris Bevins, Center for Suicide Awareness. Hope and help, just a text away. Join me.
Sunday afternoons at 1 on 97.9 WGBW and the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Fox Valley forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly cloudy today, highs near 19. It will be breezy out of the west. For tonight, chance of snow or flurries. We'll see a low around 15. For Saturday, partly sunny, breezy, a high near 31. Sunday, sunny, 26. Monday, partly sunny, mid-30s.
Right now, it's zero.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Central Heat, you know, the HVAC systems that heat your entire house. Man, those can really cost us an arm and a leg. And they lose up to 30% of their energy through the ductwork, plus more when we're heating rooms that we aren't even using. Well, one trick that can bring down your heating bill is to lower your thermostat and use energy-efficient space heaters where you really need the heat. I'm a little retro and I like radiant heaters. Those are heaters that just heat a specific area in a room. On average, running a 1500-watt space heater is going to cost you about 20 cents an hour. While running your central electric furnace, that's going to run you $1.37 an hour. So space heaters can mean real savings. However, if you use a space heater, make sure you follow the directions for their safe use. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. The next time, I'm Carrie Joy, saying take good care.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. Sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Mino and the Mayor.
We're very pleased to have Nathan Olson here, Olson Legal Group, also the sponsor of our Veteran Salute.
Welcome. I want to start out with that whole thank you for your service, because we really mean that. And you hear that.
I appreciate that.
And it's really sincere. And some people say, well, it gets a little bit overused. What else are you going to say?
You know, I really don't know what to say when people say that, too.
Right.
Because there is a selfless service aspect to it, but...
But you appreciate it.
Yeah, you very much.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning, 6 till 9 on WGBW and WISS. And the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
Round where he had that run of 23 touchdowns and one interception, something we've really never seen.
I'm really glad that the weather's improving. This weekend, there's the Midwest Bee Expo happening in Waukesha. In fact, we're talking about bees before we wrap it up on a Friday morning. Welcome back, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report on the 24th day of January. Let's see, what can I tell you? On this day, back in 1984, the Apple Macintosh actually went on sale. The Mac, as it was called. Believe it or not, at that time, it was the very first computer that used a mouse. Happened on this day back in 1984. You know, so much attention still being paid to California, and rightly so, for the wildfires that they continue to battle. You know, on this day back in 1848, that marked the beginning of the California Gold Rush. Coloma, California, kind of where it all started. But like I said, on this day back in 1848, California looked a whole lot different than it does today. Yes, we do have some happy birthdays. Happy birthday to Neil Diamond, Sweet Caroline, turning 83 years young today. And The Streak, remember that song? Ray Stevens, musician, turns 85. And now you know. Well, you know that earlier this week, we were fully engaged in the 2025 UW Ag Outlook Forum. And while a lot of that attention was focused in on federal policy with the Trump administration coming in for a second time around, we also have to take time and take a look at what's happening in Wisconsin. For example, our Senator Joan Baldwin, no longer chair of the Senate Agriculture Committee. So some new leadership and some remaining issues that didn't get handled in 2024 before the elections. Our own Stephanie Hoff caught up with our Assembly Ag Chair to find out where he sees priorities and directions this calendar year.
It's only been a few weeks since state lawmakers were sworn in, but meetings with industry leaders and colleagues have already begun. Assembly Agriculture Committee Chair Travis Tranel joins us for a monthly update on the buzz around the Capitol. He tells us what's been happening.
Frankly, at this point in the legislative session, you're meeting with a lot of interest groups. Obviously, since I chair ag in the assembly, I'm meeting with a lot of the ag groups, whether it's the potato and vegetable growers, the cheesemakers, the cranberry growers, the Dairy Business Association, Farm Bureau, Farmers Union, anybody that touches ag. We're having meetings with them and seeing and asking them, you know, what are your concerns? What are your priorities? What would you like to see us do this session? And then honestly, they also tell us what they would like to see done. So it's a give and a take. We work together quite well.
And your partner in the Senate, you have a new leader there, Senator Pat Teston. Have you guys gotten together yet and discussed the trajectory that you want to move in this year?
Yeah, Pat and I have been friends for a long time. So I was excited when he was named the chair on the Senate side. And I think that we will work well together. We've certainly had informal conversations about what we would like to see done. And I'm hoping that both houses can work together so that we can continue to do good things for Wisconsin agriculture.
Now, Representative, you make it a point to attend the Wisconsin Agriculture Outlook Forum. You're here both as a dairy farmer and as a legislator. What are your takeaways?
Today, they told us that the agriculture outlook in Wisconsin, the industry as a whole, is growing. It's about a $116 billion industry. It employs about 350,000 people throughout the state. And I think oftentimes people get confused. That 350,000 employees, that's both on farm, so people that are actually working on the farm, but it also includes processors and people that work at cheese plants and manufacturing plants, etc. So that's about 10% of our total employment in the state. That's pretty significant. And they also emphasize that a lot of that manufacturing takes place in more urban areas. And sometimes I think we forget that. And why I think that's important is a lot of times I think legislators that are from more urban areas kind of look at rural Wisconsin and they think, well, what do they need now? What are they going to ask for today? And the reality is we really are codependent, because if we stop shipping them goods from rural Wisconsin, there are going to be a lot of people that live in urban areas that are going to be out of work. And I thought it was good to hear that today.
Representative Trandall, the last time you and I talked, you outlined some of your priorities for 2025, included some land use issues in regard to renewable energy, also foreign land ownership. But another theme that I've heard particularly today, there's less of a workforce out there and it's getting more expensive. Is there a role that the state plays in maintaining a strong labor force for Wisconsin? Do you see potential investments going into growing the workforce?
Yeah, we've always been big supporters of apprenticeships. I think we have to make it easy for people that want to work to get the skill set that they need and that is required to work in 2025. So programs like that, we will always support. Bigger picture, we just need people that want to work. So if there are people out there that want to work, I think I speak for the entire legislature when I say we're committed to finding ways to make that possible for them. I think it's also important to note that the reason that actual on-farm employment is coming down would probably be due to a couple of things. One, technology. Technology replaces a lot of labor. And then two, the farms that still exist today are continuing to grow and gain efficiency. And so as you gain that efficiency, you need fewer and fewer people. So obviously employment will remain an issue, but I'm not a big fan of blaming everything on government and saying let's create more government programs and government training, et cetera. Support apprenticeships, obviously, but big picture, the industry will figure it out.
Those are some of the thoughts from the Assembly Agriculture Committee Chair at the State Capitol, Representative Travis Trannell, as he kicks off this legislative session. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller milk receiver pump, patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
Rising energy costs impacting your farm's profits?
Focus on Energy is here to help with increased incentives for energy-efficient upgrades in 2025. Save money and energy for years to come.
Take the first step toward lowering utility bills. Call 800-762-7077 or visit focusonenergy.com/agribusiness today.
That's focusonenergy.com/agribusiness. Focus on Energy, proudly supporting Wisconsin farmers since 2001.
Just like some farm projects, they start out small, but they become gigantic. Bobcat Plus can relate. Bobcat Plus, Wisconsin's largest Bobcat dealer, has been in the family since 1991. They started out as one small dealer and now have grown to six locations. Butler, De Pere, Appleton, Eau Claire, Osseo, and their newest location, Kenosha. They offer new and used Bobcat equipment, parts and service, and rentals at every location to help your ag operation. Visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat. One tough animal. Well, yesterday, Brooke Rollins had her chance before the Senate Agriculture Committee working on her confirmation to become our next U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary. And so far, it looks like smooth sailing, according to Mike Davis.
Ray Starling is the general counsel for the North Carolina Chamber and served as chief of staff to Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue under the previous Trump administration and also served as Trump's principal ag advisor. Starling has high praise for Rollins.
Brent Rollins is a superstar. She's going to be absolutely fantastic. She grew up in Glen Rose, Texas, around agriculture. She was an avid FFA member. She was an outstanding student leader at one of the country's largest land grants, Texas A&M University. You do not become the student body president at Texas A&M by being a person that is not smart and is also not a good person, like in her heart. I mean, just a good person. She's got four kids, so she cares about how to feed them and how to take care of them.
Starling says Rollins is uniquely qualified to serve.
Part of being the Secretary of Agriculture or of being any cabinet secretary is knowing how to navigate the relationships with other secretaries and, most importantly, the relationship with the president. Brooke has that in spades. She has been a part of the policy apparatus. The America First Policy Institute has been its leader. So it tells you she's got these management skills, she's got this policy capability, but most importantly, she's got the relationships so that if the ag community needs the president's ear, Brooke's going to be able to deliver on that.
Trump's nominee for Secretary of Health and Human Services is Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and that has raised eyebrows in farm country. Starling says Rollins will offer a counterpoint to RFK in the president's cabinet.
That's one reason we need Brooke to be successful, is to make sure that some of the alternative views or alternate views are heard when it comes to some of our agriculture issues. We need to make sure that RFK understands that we're not going to continue to feed people at 10 to 12% of their disposable income if you take away our pesticides, you take away our genetic engineering, and frankly, if you take away our beloved processed food.
Former White House Ag Advisor Ray Starling. I'm Mike Davis.
Thanks for the insight, Mike. All right, let me give you a little insight into the marketplace. Yesterday in Chicago, corn and soybeans trended a little bit stronger. March corn finished on Thursday up 5.5 cents to 489.75. December new crop up 4.75 cents at 464.25. Soybeans, meanwhile, the March contracts were up 9.5 to 1065.5. November up 6.5, 1053.25. Some of that momentum kind of inspired by quality issues that China is citing from Brazilian soybeans. The wheat market, very interesting. March wheat finished unchanged, 554. The July new crop also unchanged yesterday, 578.25. As far as our dairy complex, barrel cheese on Thursday, a penny stronger, 182. 40-pound block cheese up 4.5 at 182, while AA butter dropped a penny, closed at 251.25 per pound. The February Class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 18 at 1915 a hundredweight. March closed a penny stronger at 1902 a hundredweight. Also want to remind you, as far as cheese is concerned, don't forget, you have an opportunity to enjoy the U.S. Champion Cheese Contest event. It is going to be back again this year. It's coming up in March, and it's going to be at the Resch Center in Green Bay. John Umhafer was talking with me about it this week at the Ag Outlook Forum. Date for the big event is coming up on March 4th and 5th. And remember, that's open to the public. They invite people to come on by, watch the judging, and also do some sampling. So maybe you're looking for an excuse to get up to Green Bay. There you have it. The U.S. Championship Cheese Contest coming up March 4th and 5th. Coming your way next, another event this weekend in Waukesha, the Midwest Honeybee Expo, giving you a chance to learn more about Wisconsin honeybees. Charity's going to help you with that lesson. Coming your way next on a Friday morning.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Keeping you connected to your local community with good news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Landon Jones could make his type of art anywhere, but he chooses to stay in Northeast Wisconsin, where he's making a name for himself through his Green Bay company, Respect. He recently took a leap and created a commercial for Doritos.
It's called That's Bold. I was sitting on the couch. I was eating some Doritos. I just had one in my hand. I was looking at it. I just try and think of different scenarios playing out. You know, I'm just enjoying this whole process, even in this competition.
A competition leading Landon to the top 25 out of thousands. And a possibility his ad could air during the Super Bowl. His story supports make art where your heart is. And for him, that's home. Until next time, I'm Terry Vaughn.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
Ooh, let's unplug from the politics and rock some local tunes on Max Inc. This week, we welcome Or Does It Explode and Chicago Blues Hall of Famer Paul Flipowitz. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Partners of Wisconsin Agriculture in your garden, they are available at MidwestHoneyBeeExpo.com if you want to find details or try to secure your tickets in advance. As we wrap it up on a Friday, we want to pause and remember that those bees that we enjoy during the summer are not dead. They're just sleeping right now, as Charity Seebecker reports.
Beekeepers across the nation face a common challenge during winter, helping bee colonies survive the harsh conditions. As humans, we throw on extra layers or maybe even bring out that heated blanket during the winter. But bees don't have that luxury. Enter the Hive Hugger. I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report. So what is the Hive Hugger exactly? Well, it's a game changer in keeping bees warm. Peggy DeSanto, the mastermind behind the award-winning Hive Hugger technology, says this all started with her love of nature and being a nurse.
Basically, it's two components. And for people who are really into beekeeping, there's sort of, do you ventilate to deal with moisture or not ventilate? And this is a non-ventilation system. It actually supports not having holes in the hive because there's too much heat loss. And so it's called a condensing hive, where this system encourages moisture to collect in the hive. But the key to sort of keeping that moisture from dripping down on your bees is you just need to super insulate the top of the hive. So the whole key to the design and the science says super insulate the top of the hive, keeps it above the dew point, keeps the bees dry. You also insulate the sides, but not as much, so that there's a differential, so that when the dew point is reached in the hive, that dew point, the condensation happens on the cooler walls. So that is, in one simple sentence, the key to the design, and that's what science says. You know, don't ventilate, keep the heat in, let the moisture condense, because the bees need moisture for metabolizing honey and for drinking. But just control where it condenses. Keep it off the ceiling by super insulating the top. So the key components to the Hive Hugger, two pieces. The top panel is the most efficient insulation material on the planet ever made. 1 inch of this vacuum insulation panel is equal to like 10 inches of foam board. It's 10 times more efficient than any other insulation material. And the way it achieves that is by, it's a vacuum panel, so think thermoses. The reason vacuums are really good insulators is in a vacuum there's no air molecules, and without air molecules there can be no heat transfer. And if there's no heat transfer, then heat's not leaving, you know, whatever's insulating it. So the top panel is less than an inch, so it's actually an R32. So it's the equivalent of about 6 inches of the foam board. So that heavy hitter top insulation keeps the top of the hive warm and it keeps it above dew point. And then the second component of the hive hugger system is just the wrap, the component that goes around the walls of the hive. And that is just off the shelf, Home Depot, 1.5 inch expanded polystyrene foam board, which gives about, it's our high density is about an R8. So R32 on the top combined with the wooden box and the insulation, you got about an R9 on the sides. And whether it's Tom Seeley or Etienne Tardif, the research says in northern climates, maybe zones 1 through 5, what the research recommends are 30 on top and 10 on the sidewalls, because that's the most closest configuration thermodynamically to what bees overwinter in nature. So when they studied like what the tree cavity is where bees choose their hives, it's about an R30 and an R10 and no upper ventilation. So again, the hive hugger simulates a natural tree colony and is based on the recommendations based on science.
That was Peggy DeSanto, developer of the hive hugger. She says being able to combine nature and nurturing others, in this case bees, is her primary goal. While she has this award-winning technology, she's just happy to support beekeepers. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 to late on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Food waste can't be eliminated, but it could be reduced. Stay tuned for Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Farming can be a dirty job. Livestock and poultry confinement facilities are notorious for air quality. Masks or other breathing protection practices are a safety must to keep lungs free from dust, smoke, airborne chemicals, and other breathing hazards. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. There are plenty of good reasons for society to work harder at reducing food waste. Brian Rowe, an ag economist at The Ohio State University, has spent a lot of time on the issue.
When you try to solve food waste, you get a threefold benefit from doing that. You can address issues of food security, you can address issues of financial waste and efficiency, and you can address issues of environmental and resource burden.
Did you catch how Rowe worded that? Try to solve food waste? He allows that the situation can be improved, but elimination of the problem is most unlikely.
There are lots of people saying we should have zero waste, which is a great concept in general, but economists also know that perfection is also very costly and difficult to achieve. And so finding that sweet spot, we definitely have too much waste, but trying to find exactly where and which places to push on and to try to improve on is something that hopefully economists can help direct society to find the places that we can make the biggest bang for the buck, if you will, in terms of addressing food waste and do the most good for the most people.
Rowe was among several presenters in a recent webinar put on by the U.S. Department of Agriculture's National Institute of Food and Agriculture. I link to it on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
You've heard that laughter is good for you, so let's get our fill of it in the next New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale.
I'm Terry Barr. National Belly Laugh Day, the perfect excuse. We'll have surprises to make you laugh.
Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS. The Dom Salvia Show.
Jack Smith's report. Maggie, prosecutors considered charging Trump with inciting insurrection, but didn't.
There's an old saying, if you shoot at the king, don't miss. If it's someone who's really powerful or really rich, I gotta be absolutely certain I can prove every charge beyond a reasonable doubt. When it's people that don't have means, then it's I'll throw every conceivable charge at you.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. About a dozen new fires started Thursday across Southern California. Most were quickly contained, but strong winds continue this morning.
Southern California is again a powder keg. Howling Santa Ana winds and bone-dry conditions fueling fires big and small.
You can see they're making retardant drops already.
West of L.A. in Ventura County, dirt, flying smoke, blasting firefighters working furiously, stopping forward progress of the Laguna Fire, but not before a Cal State campus was forced to evacuate.
The governor has approved $2.5 billion in fire relief funds. President Trump expected to visit Los Angeles today to see the damage firsthand. Troops have arrived at the southern border as President Trump cracks down on immigration. Hundreds of migrants have been arrested in cities across the country. But a judge has temporarily blocked Trump's order ending birthright citizenship. The Senate expected to vote on Pete Hegseth's nomination for defense secretary today. This is ABC News.